Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Broadcasting from the Shaw Star Market Studios, heard in Boston and throughout all six New England states, this is Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1 Lawrence on EEI.
All right, back here on OMF, the big fella Christian is back with us right now. And, of course, it is championship weekend, the NFC and the AFC championship games. It's usually Patriots Friday, has been for the last 20 years on this radio station. It's Buccaneers Friday today, though, wow, apparently, because we're all talking about the Bucs in this game. And part of our broadcast today is, as always on Friday, Mike Lombardi, who joins us live on the Harbor One Hotline. Hello, Mike.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are we doing?
We're doing
Hi,
great,
Mike.
It's
good.
Just terrific. So we've been throwing this around because it's made the rounds in the national media, and I know you're all piped into it. So they're claiming this is the GOAT versus the boat. Tampa Bay and Green Bay, Brady and Rodgers. Brady being the GOAT and Rodgers being the boat. What's the difference between the greatest of all time and the best of all time? Because we'll give it to you. Rodgers is the best of 2020, right? But
yeah,
what are they doing here?
I mean, I think I think one of the reasons they drafted Jordan Love is because I think the last 5 years, Aaron hadn't played to the Aaron that we're seeing this year. So, you know, whereas Tom's numbers, well, you know, never really, they came down, but the team always won. You know, Green Bay's won one Super Bowl. I mean, you know, this is the hard part. I mean, look, Drew Brees is going to have to retire. He won 151 games in New Orleans in his career, counting playoffs. He's 9-8 in the playoffs. He's a surefire Hall of Famer. But you almost feel shallow that he only went to one Super Bowl and won, you know? And it's the same thing with Rodgers. Like, is really you have one of the great quarterbacks of all time and you only got one Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Lou.
No, I was going to, yeah, and I agree with you, you know, but I wanted to ask you about Brady because we're having this discussion whether, you know, he goes further than maybe even next year. I'm just curious, when you watch him, because he doesn't look like Manning at the end. He doesn't look like, sure as hell, didn't look like Drew Brees there yesterday as well. As far as, still has zip on the ball. What are you seeing? Like, what happens to an aged Tom Brady that makes him look different? Maybe you see it now. Maybe you expect to see it in the next coming years.
Well, I think when he gets hit, right? I think it's all about quarter. I think you saw it with Brees. They get hit, their eye level comes down. And I think that, you know, when they protect Tom, and they've done it really well in the playoffs, and they've done it well at points during the season. They did it last week against the Saints well, you know, and he's got time to throw the ball. He can still wing it with the best of anybody. And, you know, even in the goal line, he can move a little bit right or left lateral. He's not going to run. So, you know, it's hard to see decline. I think when you start to see decline in quarterbacks, it's always related to yards per attempt, and that's always the key number. And you know, when that your eye level starts to come down and you start feeling the rush – then all of a sudden it seems like it's going to be the end. Whereas, you know, maybe you thought that was happening with Aaron Rodgers. But with Tom, I mean, he's been so good at it, and he's been able to. I mean, this year he averaged 7.6 yards per attempt, which was the same he averaged when he was with the Patriots in 18.
You know, so, Mike, when we try to pick these games, you use all the different, you know, yards per game. You know, they won last time. It's just so many different, you know, stats. But I always feel like, you know, there's needs to be a variable, like a human element variable. I'll just call it that for the lack of a better word. It's, you know, whether it be a chip on your shoulder variable that some teams are better at than others. when you look at this game between Brady, the Bucks, and versus Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers, which team do you think has a stronger, I don't know, human element variable that would help them win?
Human element variable. I mean, I don't really understand that one. You mean motivation?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just using that because because there's more than just stats when it comes to these games. And nobody,
right.
And I think
it's hard
for you to add that into your equation of wins and losses.
Well, I think there's no doubt. I think there's more than that. I think you have to look at how you manage the game. How do you play this game, right? How do you handle the game as it's going on and how you attack it? And situational football and what you do in those games. I think that's really the key. And playoff football is so dramatically different than regular season football. So that, you know, that factor, you know, last time Bruce Arians was in a playoff game, it was with Carolina. They lost 49-15, you know, and they beat Green Bay the week before in overtime. So, you know, I mean, that was when he had a 14-4 team. So I think it's how do you play these games in the situation that you're in, how you handle it. To me, that's really more what it's about. I think the players play hard. I think when coaches try to make too much and try to utilize too much play, don't keep the game plan as simple as possible where the players can play fast, then there's confusion, and you don't want to make mental mistakes. That's the last thing you want to do in the most important game of the year is give up a couple plays that are free access touchdowns. I mean, that's what happened to us in 15 when we played in Denver. We had a couple mental breakdowns on defense, and Manning made a couple touchdown throws.
I don't think it's surprising that Patrick Mahomes cleared protocol. I think everybody thought, even after the hit on Sunday, that he was going to play in this game. They would find a way. But I'm wondering, looking at what Buffalo provides, the fact that they can't stop the run, the Kansas City put up a lot of running yardage the last time they played, and they can't run themselves. Should there be more concerned about his toe? Because if he continued to play that game last week, was he not going to have some difficulty? And if you take away the running element of Mahomes, you change him, don't you?
You do. I mean, you got to keep him in the pocket. I mean, that's the key thing. Those loose plays, I mean, first of all, those receivers are hard to cover in general. But then when he starts moving around back there, it's hard to stick to him for an extended period of time. And I agree. I think, look, the concussion's got to come into Andy Reid's play calls. You're not going to quarterback sneak him in this game. You're afraid he's going to get hit again. You know, and so you got to be careful there. You're afraid about the toe, so you want to limit how much you're going to utilize him as a runner. They love to utilize him as a runner on a fake option where he knows he's going to pitch the ball, but he tries to take a defender to him. I think it's a little bit of how they match this thing up. You know, I would be nervous about that. Buffalo played that game to encourage Kansas City to run the ball. Sean McDermott did not believe Andy Reid would call runs. He had worked with Andy Reid. He knows Andy Reid. He felt like there's no way Andy's going to, no matter how light I make this box, he'll start calling passes. And Andy was disciplined. Andy's changed. He called. They gained 245 yards. The bigger issue was Buffalo couldn't do anything with the football. They had the ball 22 minutes. They couldn't do anything with it. The longest pass play was 22 yards to Cole Beasley. You know, Stephon Diggs averaged 7 yards per completion, per attempt. Per completion in that game. That's why they lost that game. There was no offense generated. They can't do this. If they punt in the second half, they will lose. If they don't get a time of possession under control where they have it 38 minutes. Here's the remarkable thing about what the Patriots did when they beat them up in Kansas City the last time. The Patriots had the ball 43 minutes. Now, I know the game went to overtime. They had it 4.5 minutes in the overtime period. And the Chiefs had the ball 21 minutes. The Chiefs had the ball 3 minutes and 30 seconds in the fourth quarter. That's all they had it. 3 minutes and 30 seconds, and they scored 24 points. Okay?
That's amazing.
They scored 24 points amazing. In 3 minutes and 34 seconds. Nobody remembers this.
Yeah.
You got to not only – people say, we got to keep the ball away from them. No. You got to keep the ball away from them and score. And then you got to have the ball last.
So it sounds to me like you like Kansas City in this game, do you think Josh Allen has it in him? Because you know they can't run the ball. I mean, Moss is out; they just don't run it. Can Josh Allen do it?
They didn't want to run it last week. They knew it was in bad play. I'm with Glenn. I think I'm a worried about Mahomes. Look, here's what Kansas City has told us for the last 9 weeks: they're not very good at covering any spreads. So if you take Buffalo and the points, you got a pretty. And Buffalo's taught us the last 9 weeks. Ooh. Is they cover every spread. The only game they didn't cover was the Hail Mary play. So, you know, to me, I think this is a great opportunity for Buffalo to go in there and to play a different style. They need to play better on offense. They have to control this game, and they can't rush the passer. So that might be actually, I don't want to say it's a good thing, but you want to keep Mahomes in front of you. You can't let this guy get out of the pocket.
All right, Mike, on a lighter side, okay, two-part question for you. Were you able to see Dan Campbell's press conference for the Detroit Lions? And
yes.
So I want your thoughts on that. And in the end, do you think it will work?
Well, I mean, I think it has to be authentic. It has to be every single day. I think he can't just turn that off and on.
Hold on.
Turn that off and on.
That's my point. Do you think that every single day will work?
Look, I think that's why that works in college. It doesn't work in pro. You need graduation for that. You know, because that's the most. But in the NFL, there's a lot of graduation. 5 years, you always have a new team. For me, it's not my style. It doesn't resonate with me. It fits. I mean, it's Chris. You ever hear Chris Spielman do a game before he went, when he was on Fox, before he left to go to the booth? It's like he was like Chris Spielman in the booth. Oh, you got to have pad level. You got to use your flipper. You know, like seriously, like you're watching a different game I'm watching, bro. Like it ain't the same thing. Like you got to be smart. You got to be calculated. You got to get the quarterback. It isn't about your pad. We're not playing high school football here. All due respect to high school football. So for me, it's not my style. I think it's definitely Chris Spielman's style.
You always talk about ownership when you're going for a job, and I thought it was interesting to see how the Philadelphia thing played out, and Jeffrey Lurie's paying an awful lot of money to Carson Wentz, and I think he wanted to find somebody who was willing to take on Carson Wentz. So Josh is out of that job. How important is that for Bill Belichick? Because it's not getting a lot of play here that Josh is coming back, but how important do you think it is for Bill Belichick in this rebuilding program now?
Well, I think it's vitally important. I mean, look, Josh is a trusted ally of Bill. He's a trusted aide. He's someone that Bill talks to about things that pertain to the entire football team, not just the offense. And then Josh can do something that very few humans in the world can do, which is coach the quarterback and scout the quarterback and develop the quarterback. So those things are all what Bill needs this time of the year. And I think it's huge. I think it's the Eagles' mistake. I mean, you know, they hired a guy, never called plays. They're now making them. The Eagles are truly like a nostalgic tour band. They want to go and they want to hire somebody who has reached that 17 season, and they can't get Frank Wright, so they'll take a coach who's been with Frank Wright. I mean, I think this is going to be a hard event.
Yeah, Mike, do you think – we had this discussion too, right? Eric Bieniemy comes up, and they talk about this guy getting his job because Frank Wright, you know, letter of recommendation. They were in the Super Bowl last year. I don't remember too many stories on Eric Bieniemy, the great offensive coordinator. I don't remember reporters asking what a great call EB made at the end of that game, 4th-and-1. It's always Andy Reid. Does Andy Reid, do the Chiefs, do Pat Mahomes promote, market Eric Bieniemy enough for him to get a job in this league?
Well, I mean, here's the reality. If you're like Don Martindale did a remarkable job in Baltimore this year. He got no interviews, zero. His numbers defensively are incredible over the last 3 years. He got zero interviews. The enemy's got, I think he's over 10 interviews with NFL teams by now. Count last year and this year. I think he's at least over 10. He might be at 12. He's been in front of 12 owners. Something, I don't know what it is, but something happens in that interview that people don't like. Something happens. Maybe he doesn't answer the questions the way they want to have them here to answer. I mean, look, the NFL is a very fickle industry. There's no way Josh McDaniel's in a room and Nick Sirianni's in the same room and they're talking football and you're going to pick Nick over Josh. There's just no way. Like, it's just no way. Like, it's not even close. And because I know Josh so well that his level is far exceeding most people. So you can't really predict what happens in that room. I don't know. He's been in front of people. He's been in front of at least 10 NFL teams. Something happens in the interview. I don't know what it is. But what happens is you got to get promoted to get the interview. He's gotten those.
Yeah, that's actually an excellent point. But so what about Houston? So it's like the when the cycle is over and the music stops, there's one team left with no head coach. What do you think they're going to do?
I don't know. I wrote about it today in The Athletic. I wrote a whole feature where I basically wrote a column for Nick to what I gave him my advice. If I were Nick, I'd hire Marvin Lewis. Now, you might want to laugh at that. Marvin Lewis has won 131 games in the National Football League. Okay?
How many playoff games?
He's 0-7. He's 0-7 in those playoff games. You know how hard it is to win 131 games?
Yeah.
That's hard to do. It's hard to do. 131 games in the NFL. That's a really – and he did it at Cincinnati. At Cincinnati. Now, so we put that in perspective. The last 3 years, the Bengals have won 12 games. He Marvin's got six of those wins. Okay? So it's a hard place to be a head coach. And you get a guy who's got experience, who's been in a lot of messes. Because trust me, we don't read about it because it's Cincinnati. There's a lot of messes in Cincinnati you've got to clean up. And this is a huge cleanup job for Nick. And then Nick's got to go handle Easterby. He's got to go figure that one out. Because that's not gonna go the way Nick thinks it's going the way it was in New England. Hey, and then he's got to go solve the quarterback.
Last one for me, Mike. All right, so Brady, Rodgers, we talked about the GOAT versus the boat, whatever it is. Brady's got it. Offensively, I don't see this defense doing what they did to Drew Brees, right, with Aaron Rodgers. So it's really come down to Tom Brady and the offense, like seeing how many points they can score to beat Aaron Rodgers?
I think it comes down to turnovers. I think it comes down to can they keep the pace of the game. I think it's going to be a hard game for the Bucs. They got to play. This is not the kind of game Bruce Arians like to play. It's a complimentary football game. I like the Packers to win the game because I think Rodgers is playing at such a high level. And I think it's going to be hard for them to match that level on the road in Green Bay.
So you like Do you like Kansas City as well?
Well, hold on. Wait. Does Green Bay cover? Wait. Does Green Bay cover? We want to make sure we get this right because I got to make one of these picks, Mike, and I am losing an eyebrow if I get it wrong. So,
well,
give
look,
me some
I
advice.
Do it every week on VSiN. You just watch. I do it every week on Netflix.
I watch it all the time. I missed it. So Green Bay and cover, right?
I would lay the points with Green Bay. I would take the points with Buffalo.
Okay.
So you know what he did last week? He took your buddy Paul Howard's advice on VSiN, and he lost. So he's pissed off. So he's reaching out to you to bail his ass out.
That means Paulie owes you. There's an incredible sports book out there called Stadium Swim. I'm sure Paulie's told you about it.
Yeah.
It's at the D Hotel. It's an incredible. Paulie owes you a few beers and a cabana. I'll buy you dinner if I'm wrong.
That's what he said. He owes him dinner.
He owes me dinner.
All right, Mike, we'll do it again next week. Have a good one. Enjoy the
games.
See you later. Mike Lombardi on the Harbor One Hotline.